Today on The Journey.
This is about your walk with Christ. This is about demonstrating to those around you that a life following Jesus changes things, even unjust suffering.
An unfortunate result of the fall is that our work came under the curse. The thing at which we spend the balance of our waking hours is also the place that tries our soul, especially when injustice enters the workplace. So on today's program, Ron Moore offers biblical solutions to unfairness on the job. Also, be sure to note our free gift of Ron's inspiring devotional, Living Hope. Its 95 daily meditations will remind, instruct, and refresh your spirit in the essentials of the Christian walk. Living Hope is available for a donation of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you more about it later in the broadcast. Now here's Ron with the message, Endure on the Journey.
Today's passage gets a little more personal. Peter is going to talk to us about how we should respond when we feel some unjust situations are taking place on the job. Now, let's just take a second before we open God's Word to think about how important this instruction is. Think about how much time you spend on the job. You spend a fourth of your time at work, or more realistically, a third of your waking hours. That's 40 hours a week. If you work 50 hours a week, you spend 42% of your time on the job. If you work 60 hours or over, you spend half the time, 50% or more. That doesn't take into consideration the emotions and situations that you bring home with you and think about them and stew on them there, nor does it take into account any drive time. That's a big chunk of your life, isn't it? We've got to do that well. And I'm going to argue today that we have to be just as conscious of living the Christian life on the job as we do when we come into worship or as we're at home or wherever else we are. So take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter. We continue studying our way through this book. You remember that Peter is writing from Rome during a great persecution. He's writing to five Roman provinces about 1,200 miles east of where he is. They are now provinces found in northern Turkey. He's writing to tell them to stand firm. He is writing to tell them to get ready. Persecution is on the way. He is sending them needed instruction. He writes, you'll see in verse 1, to God's elect, God's chosen people who have been set apart by the Holy Spirit for obedience to Christ. And then he says in verse 3, he breaks out in praise. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Peter uses the word living a lot to describe the Christian life. It is vibrant, it is fresh, it is eternal as compared to what the world would offer that's stale and deceptive and temporal. And Peter has reminded the readers to this point that they are possessors of an eternal inheritance that cannot perish or spoil or fade. It's kept in heaven for them as guarded by God himself. They have been redeemed by Jesus Christ. He has purchased them from the slavery of sin. Jesus is a cornerstone. On him, you can build your life. He is the solid rock. And he's also, as a cornerstone, the one you can align your life to and with. In our passage today, then, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 25, we're going to learn that Jesus Christ must be honored and obeyed just as much at work as he is on the weekends at a worship service. Look at verse 18. Slaves, submit yourself to your masters with all respect. Now, when Americans read the word slaves, we think of pre-Civil War slavery, and we are repulsed that men and women made in the image of God would ever be subjected to be treated as mere property. Our ancestors have fought and given their lives to abolish slavery in our country. And so when we read the word slave, there's an emotion that goes along with that. And while slavery is never a great system, you got to know that in first century Rome, it was a little bit different. In fact, in first century Rome, the economics and the politics were all based around a system of slavery. And the word slave here is not the word doulos that means bond servant. It's another word that means a house servant. And in that day, if you were a house servant, or even broader, if you were a teacher, in some cases a doctor or a lawyer, or if you were in what we consider many professional occupations today, then you would have been under this system where you had been hired out by other people. And the slave had a fairly normal existence in the sense that they kind of went to work like we do, and then they went home. Some of them could even get other jobs so that they could make money and buy themselves out of slavery if they desired to do that. So I give you that background just to say that our application today is more like an employee-employer or an employee-supervisor. And we need to think along with that application. The supervisor that oversees us at work, how do we respond to that person? How do we respond to our boss? How do we respond to the owner of the company? How do we respond to the board that we are subject to? And we need to do this, Peter's going to say, in a way that honors God. We need to submit ourselves to the authority in the workplace with all respect. Now, obviously, if your supervisor is asking you to do something immoral, that's where we draw the line. God is always a final authority. He's always a final supervisor. Our obedience is to Him. But in normal situations, we have to submit. We should submit to the authority in the workplace. Look at verse 18 again. Slaves or employees, submit yourself to your employers with all respect, not only to those who are good, that word means generous, not only to those who are considerate, that word means equal-handed or reasonable. You should submit yourselves to them, but not only them, also to those who are harsh. Now, that's tough, isn't it? That word harsh is the Greek word skolios. It literally means curved or winding or bent. The medical term scoliosis, curvature of the spine, comes from that Greek word. And here it describes a person who is unscrupulous, dishonest, hard to work for. Look at verse 19. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. What you're going through is unjust. You don't deserve it. But it is commendable if you endure it, if you stick with it, if you persevere because of your consciousness of God. You are aware that God is sovereign. You are aware that He is really the one you report to. You are aware that He is at work in your life. And you want to demonstrate to all those around you, even in an unjust situation, that you are conscious of Him. And when you do that, Peter says, that is commendable to God. That is an attractive character. God looks on that with approval because you are doing it right. Now, Peter wants to make an important point very clear. Look at verse 20. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure that? So, if you didn't get the job done, if you didn't meet the challenging but realistic quota, if you never meet a deadline, if you are habitually late, if you are lazy, then don't go around crying to your friends because you didn't get the promotion or you didn't get the raise or you got fired. How is that to your credit for being punished for doing wrong? Peter wants to make that clear. This is not about justice. This is about injustice. So in the rest of verse 20, but if you suffer for doing good and you endure that, this is commendable before God. So when it's a real situation and it's unjust and you endure it, That is commendable to God. That is attractive in His sight. Notice here that the subject is not the injustice of the situation. And notice the primary player here is not the unreasonable supervisor. Who's the primary player here? You and me. And the issue is not the injustice. The issue is our response to not getting the best assignment or not getting the new territory or being passed over again or being treated unfairly. Now, Peter is not saying that you shouldn't look for another job if that's the case. It's not in Scripture, but my dad always taught me, if you're going to quit one job, make sure you have another one. It's just good common sense. Peter is not saying that there may be a time you need to move on, but he's saying while you're there, you do it right. And when you move on, you better leave well. You're doing your job. You're working hard. Unjust suffering. You got a couple options. You can let it spew, or you can do it God's way. Now, there are times when we know why we were overlooked. Maybe our integrity got in the way. Maybe our moral standards kept us from getting the promotion. Maybe our honesty held us back. But there are times when we have no idea how we're going to respond to those times. In this passage, Peter gets very practical. How does this work in real life? How do we respond to these situations? Look at verses 21 through 23. And interestingly here, Peter puts forth Christ and his sufferings on the cross as the example or the pattern of what we should follow in the workplace. Look at verse 21. To this, to handling unjust situations God's way, to this you were called because Christ suffered, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Literally, the word steps is footprints. You should be looking for the footprints of Christ, and you should be stepping in those. And when you are stepping in the footprints of Christ, you are heading in the right direction. You are following him. So here's five applications that Peter gives us, very practical applications regarding an unjust situation in the workplace. Now, we don't have to do it Christ's way. We can do it our way. And we're going to create a real mess. Or we can follow Christ in this. You ready? Look at verse 22. Peter says you're going to follow in the steps of Christ. Jesus committed no sin. So there's a first, very broad application. Don't sin. I know it's irritating. I know the natural thing to do is have the emotions and disappointment and frustration and anger come out. And I know you're angry about it. But remember what Scripture says. In your anger, natural emotion, what? Don't sin. Ephesians 4, don't give Satan a foothold. Satan wants you to fall. Yeah, you should have had the promotion. You worked your tail off to get it. But it's about more than your job. You have a testimony at your workplace. And you can talk to people about Christ, and you can invite them to church and Bible studies and all this stuff, and you can lose it just like that because of your reaction to something that happens at work. And that person's going to say, wait a second, they want me to go to all that stuff, but they don't act any differently than everybody else acts when they're treated unjustly. So, do it Christ's way. Follow Christ. Don't sin. Look at verse 22 again. He committed no sin and what? No deceit was found in his mouth. Second application, hold your tongue. Don't say it. Don't email it. Don't text it. Don't Twitter it. And by all means, don't put it on Facebook. I know you want to. You want to give your supervisor a piece of your mind. You want to tell everyone what a jerk that person is. But you can't if you're going to do it Christ's way. I saw a guy on Wednesday night, and we were talking, and he said on Monday morning, he and his wife prayed, and they said, this week, we are not going to complain about anything, and we're not going to criticize anyone. That was Monday morning. Wednesday night, he said, we haven't talked for 2 days. Did Jesus have room to complain? Did Jesus have room to criticize? Yet no deceit was in his mouth. You going to do it the way you want to do it? Or are you going to do it the way Christ wants you to do it? Look at verse 23. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. Third application is don't try to get even. Don't strike back. Don't inflict pain just because you've received pain. And by the way, in our marketplace today, the person supervising you today, you may be supervising next month. And you'll have an opportunity. But when you have the opportunity, don't do it. Show grace. Show love. Show mercy. Anyone can retaliate. Christ could have. Do it his way. Look at verse 23. He did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Don't issue warnings. Don't say, if this doesn't change, I'm going to quit. I'm out of here. That's not the way you do it when you follow Jesus. If you need to change jobs, do it appropriately. Leave well with your testimony intact. That's more important than the job. This is not about the job. The job's going to go away. The job's temporal. This is about your walk with Christ. This is about investing in eternity. This was about demonstrating to those around you that a life following Jesus changes things, even unjust suffering. The end of verse 23. Instead, here's what Jesus did. He entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Hand the situation over to God. Practice your delegation skills. Give it to him. Lord, this is your situation. I can't fix it. I feel I was treated unjustly, but I'm turning it over to you. Obedience is more important than the job. And I always know you bless obedience. I don't understand what's going on right now, but I'm giving this over to you. What do you want to teach me? I am now a student. What do I need to learn? And it won't be long before you say, oh yeah, I did need some work in that area, didn't I? Hard stuff. But Jesus never said obedience would be easy. So here's a question. Beginning tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, whenever you go to work, are you going to do it your way or God's way? You're going to respond out of your emotion and out of your bitterness and out of your anger? Or are you going to respond with the love of Christ? Now, before you answer that question, Peter wants to remind us of something. Look at verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. Peter goes to some theology, the atonement, where Jesus took our sins in his body on the cross. That little prepositional phrase, in his body, reminds us of the humanity of Christ. The floggings hurt. The cross was painful. The inflictions were felt. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. That's what he did for us. So that we could die to sin. See, we don't have to sin anymore. Before Christ or apart from Christ, that's all we know. We only know a life of sin. But we don't have to do that anymore. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. We have the strength not to retaliate. We have the strength not to threaten back. We don't always take that strength and use it. Sometimes we act out of the flesh, but we don't have to. We have died to sins so we could live for righteousness, live a life that pleases God in the workplace. The context here. By his wounds, you've been healed. By the wounds of Christ in his body on the tree, you have been spiritually healed. Now you can live a life that pleases him. Look at verse 25. For you were like sheep going astray. Now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. He's the real supervisor. Jesus is the real boss. Jesus is the one we really report to. He is the shepherd and he is the overseer, not just of our job, of our very souls. Are we going to do this his way? Are we going to do it our way? Now, if you're a supervisor, you got to look at your life. Are you making it hard for those who work with you? If you're an owner of a company or an employer, you got to make sure you're treating people justly and fairly. Because you're going to be held responsible when you stand before Christ. It is not about the end of the month numbers on the books. You're not going to be thinking about that when you stand before Christ. You're going to make a profit? Yeah. You're responsible for people? Sure. You need to use good business sense? No doubt. But you got to make sure that you're reporting well to the shepherd and overseer of your soul.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. What difference does it make that you're on a journey with Jesus? How does your faith in Christ affect your joy, freedom, and endurance? And what about your relationship with others, believers and unbelievers alike? Well, the Apostle Peter addressed those questions in his letters to first century Christians. Ron Moore explores Peter's instructions in the devotional titled Living Hope. Its 95 challenging meditations will lead you to victory on your pilgrimage with Christ. So discover the meaning of this spiritual journey for yourself with Ron Moore's devotional Living Hope. It's yours for a donation of any amount when you visit us on the web at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call toll-free 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
God's design for marriage stands. You cannot ignore it. You cannot abuse it. If you do, you will do so at your own peril. And if God has graciously given you children, your disobedience will impact your children as well. As a servant leader, a husband has to make decisions that are in the best interest of his family. They may not always be in his personal best interest, but a servant leader chooses what is in the best interest of his family. A servant leader will work through the decisions with his wife, participating with her as a partner. But at the end of the day, God holds the husband responsible for the family. When you stand before Christ and account for the leadership of your family, men, God will be looking you in the eye. He will not be looking at your wife. He gave you that assignment. And wives, Christ then will turn his eyes toward you and he will ask if you have been willing to do it his way, to follow the leadership of your husband. And that day, you'll find out, husbands, if you are a servant leader or if you are a tyrant or if you were a wet rag. And wives, you'll find out if you were in obedience to the Word of God. Christian husbands, this is your charge. Be the leader God has called you to be a servant leader. Christian wives, this is your charge. Respect your husband and be willing to submit to godly leadership.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please remember to order your copy of Ron's inspiring devotional, Living Hope. It's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. That's ronmoore.org. Or you may call toll-free 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. By the way, if you miss any of the messages in this series, you'll find them on the front page of our website at ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, please tell your friends and family about our program. Also, keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to keep this ministry on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on The Journey.